Grace, the Amy Santiago of Royal Bloggers.
And I'm Jessica, the Dorothy Sporanath of Royal Bloggers.
And we'd like to welcome you to On Air, the podcast where two cynical Brits discuss the latest royal news and the truth behind the stories.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the On Air podcast. This will be our last episode of the year. But because we're coming to the end of 2023, we thought that we would do a look forward to 2024 and some of the not so exciting events that you you can expect to see in 2024. You know, what's happening, big things are happening, and yeah, all that goodness. So, yes, what have we got to look forward to in January? The first thing I've got is actually something that might not happen in January. great start, yeah. But that's only because we never were told when it was going to happen. And it could happen, it could have already happened and it's been kept secret. Or it could be over the next few weeks. Or it could be in January. And that is the birth of Princess Claire and Prince Felix's third baby.
Maybe Luxembourg the third.
Yeah. So a previous episode is called Prince Luxembourg of Luxembourg that we did. So this could be the opportunity where we have Prince Luxembourg of Luxembourg born. But yeah, no, they didn't tell us the date that the baby was going to be born.
Yeah, I tried to figure out what roughly when the baby was due, and my prediction was winter. I was like, that's not very helpful. It's a broad date size.
Yeah, and they cross over the year. Like, you know, if they announced it in January, we would have known it would be this year. But they announced it at a time where, like, depending on how far along they were, it could be something that's happening in the next few weeks. It could be early next year. We don't know. But yeah, this will be their third child after Amalia and Liam, their two older children, and the seventh grandchild for the Grand Duke and Duchess. In terms of what we can expect to see, I think we got a lot of content for the birth of Amalia because she was the first granddaughter of the Duke and Duchess, and she was also, at the time, Guillaume and Stephanie, the heir, and his wife didn't have any children, so there was always the possibility that, like, Amalia might be the next Grand Duchess. But then when Liam was born, the second child, it was significantly more quiet and low-key, and I think now that Guillaume and Stephanie have two sons, I am not expecting, like, the appearance outside the hospital and the big grand, you know, birth celebrations. I think we'll get some pictures and that's probably it.
Yes, I'm expecting pictures, obviously, on Instagram, as you do. I'm very invested in the name.
Yes.
Because yeah. Amalia's name is so royal. And then Liam's name is Liam, which is not royal or mm-hmm. French mm. or German. Sorry, not sure where that one came from. And I think, you know, Charles and Francois are so regal, and then I'm really interested to know where they go with another name.
Yeah, well, they have our suggestion of Prince Luxembourg, so if they want to go with that, it's fine. I will expect that we'll be made godparents as credit.
Yes, I should be godparents.
But also, like, Liam and Amalia, they're not anagrams of each other, but Amalia is Liam with two extra A's. So I think it would be very funny if they did, like, some sort of other anagram, like if it was a daughter and they called her Mila or something. So they had Amalia, Liam and Mila, just like creating anagrams of their own children. I think that seems to be what they've done so far. So they're either going to, so they could do that, or they'll probably go for something, you know, Zanzibar or something. I don't know.
Zanzibar.
I was watching Inside Number 9, which is a TV show in the UK. If people don't have it, it's like an anthology series. And there's an episode which is called Zanzibar, so it's just a word that's in my head for some reason.
I quite like that. I think they should call the baby Zanzibar. It's a good name.
But yeah, no, I think the name's always the most interesting part of royal babies, I think.
Yeah, it's always the bit I'm excited for, because, like, I can't really do anything with the rest of it, but a name I can guess. I have never guessed, but I could.
What is your guess? Do you have a guess?
No, not at the moment. I'll make one. Ooh. By the time the podcast airs, I will have a guess. Put it in on Instagram.
Sounds good. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a real lack of babies. So yeah. I'm looking forward to the one baby we might get next year.
I know. I was thinking, like, who else could have a baby? And I was like, there's a few outliers. Like, we could theoretically get another, like, York baby, or, you know, another Sophia and Carl Philip baby, but I was like, they've all had their babies now, they've all moved on. I was like, do I have to wait for the little royals to become fully grown adults and have children? Because I can't be dealing with that.
Well, I think that's the theme of this whole year, is like, my goodness, it's dry.
Like, nothing is
Nope,
happening.
nobody's marrying, and no, well, very few people are marrying, and very few people are having babies. So, yeah, if we could get a surprise pregnancy from like Madeline, I've always thought Madeline would have more children, you know, that would be nice.
Yeah, we'll take that as our option.
So the next thing I have is this from the 7th to the 16th of January. It will be the wedding of Prince Abdul Mateen of Brunei. So Mateen is the fourth son of the Sultan of Brunei, and he is marrying Aisha Rosna Bint Adam, who is the granddaughter of an advisor to the Sultan. And as you can tell from the fact that their celebrations will be over 9 days, this is going to be absolutely massive in Brunei. The Brunei royals are known for like extreme opulence. There's like a cult of personality around the Sultan. So, and for some strange reason, even though he's not the heir to the throne, Abdul Mateen is probably the most famous of all of the Sultan's children.
Yes, he's the only one I could name.
Yeah, exactly. Me too, actually, to be honest. I don't pay much attention to the Brunei royals, and he's the only one I know. So because of that, I do expect it to be quite big. We're talking big tiaras, big gowns, big celebrations over multiple days.
Yes, and I'm going to say a fair Middle Eastern royal presence.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's lots that we don't know, or I don't know anyway. Maybe other people do, and if they do, please do let us know. But I don't know, like, if it's going to be live streamed. And to be perfectly honest, I am not going to watch 9 days of celebrations.
9 days of live stream. I can't come to work. I'm
Yeah,
dizzy.
I'm so sorry. I don't care enough about the Brunei royals to sacrifice 9 days of my life for their wedding. But I might watch the big wedding because, you know, obviously we talked in recent episodes and earlier this year about the Jordanian royal wedding. And one of the reasons that both of us, I think, liked it was that it was different from a Church of England wedding that we're used to seeing. You know, we got to learn new things. And so I will try and watch the wedding itself if I can, just because I don't know what a wedding in Brunei looks like. I know they're Muslim, but I don't know what the specific Brunei culture and interpretation of weddings is. So if it's anything like the Jordanian royal wedding, it's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, I think it's an interesting, you know, there aren't many royal weddings going on at the moment, but it's also quite interesting that we can kind of see something that's maybe a bit different from what we're used to.
Since, the European royals have just decided to all get to a boring stage in their lives, we're having to look elsewhere for weddings and babies. And I'm really, I like you said, I think learning about a different culture's weddings through the Jordanian weddings this year was really fascinating. And I even, I found watching the Swedish royal weddings fascinating because even though they were Christian, they were different from the weddings that I've been used to in the UK. So I think I am interested to see what the wedding ceremony is like, but also what the whole sort of 9 day extravaganza is. I want to see the whole thing.
I mean, the thing I'm most excited about is that Abdul Mateen is a massive fan of cats. In 2022, Abdul's sister got married, and her cat actually appeared in the official wedding photographs. And it was one of the best days of my royal watching life because all royals seem to be dog lovers. And then there's just Princess Michael who likes cats, and she's rubbish. So, that's not any fun at all. So I'm hoping that as probably the biggest royal cat lover, that Abdul Mateen gives us an official royal wedding cat, because I think as a cat lover, that's what I deserve after so many dogs.
Yeah, I think you should have royal cats in the photo. They should be like, I feel like of all the royals, these are the ones most likely to give us cats in the wedding photo, or in fact, any animals at all. So I don't think it's asking for the moon.
Exactly. They're an authoritarian country. Like, he is head of the government and head of state and head of the military and head of the treasury and head of everything, the Sultan. So, and I'm sure that they have some sort of like press restrictions and so on. So no one's going to criticize them for having a cat dressed up in a suit in their wedding if they wanted to do that. But I would take just in the official photographs. We've had it from his sister, and he's a big cat. So I'm hoping that that'll give us some fun moments. So the next big thing we're likely to see is the 18th of February, which is the Hereditary Grand Duchess of Luxembourg's 40th birthday. Is that what you've got?
Yes.
Yeah. So yes, Stephanie will be turning 40 on the 18th of February. I am not expecting anything massive for this. I looked back at when her husband Guillaume turned 40 in 2021, and obviously that was during COVID, so you know, all bets are off when you're comparing things to stuff that happened during the COVID years. But what they did for his birthday, and he's the heir, is they released some new photographs. And that was it.
Yes, I'm expecting photographs of her and also of her with the kids.
The kids, yeah. I mean, Stephanie and Guillaume, the one of the few, some of the few times we've talked about them in this podcast have been because they've got very cute children, and they take their children to literally everything. It's like 75% of their engagements, one of the children at least will be there with them, just like any random thing. Which I really love because they're very adorable. And my mum is a massive fan of Prince Charles, the eldest son. She doesn't know anything about the Luxembourg royal family, but she knows about Prince Charles. So she'd be very delighted, I think, to see official photographs. So yeah, well, they might do something a bit more, but I think given the fact they didn't for the actual heir, I'm expecting that it will just be some official photographs of them and the children, which will be nice, but you know, it's not going to make the year. I don't think it'll make the end of year top moment.
No. So the other event I had was it's kind of not a big important royal event. However, I have a logical reason for including it.
Okay.
So it is Princess Leonor of Sweden's 10th birthday.
Okay.
And my reason for including it is that theoretically they should be back in Sweden by then as a family. So it'll be her first Swedish birthday since she was little. And she's, I think they are gonna, I don't think they're gonna do anything miraculous. And I think we'll still get a picture shared by Madeline on her Instagram account. But I think in terms, I will be very excited to see it because I love Leonor to pieces. And also I think it hopefully would be the start of the Madeline's back in Sweden era
Yeah.
that I'm ready to celebrate, even if no one else is.
Yeah. So, I can't remember which episode we talked about this in, but basically, Madeline, the daughter of the King of Sweden, the youngest child, has been living abroad for quite a long time. Over a decade. She moved to New York City and she met her husband there, and then they lived in London, and now they live in Florida. And so they haven't lived in Sweden full time since she started having children. And that caused a bit of an issue because according to the constitution, in order to be prince or princess, you should be raised within the realm, which means raised within Sweden. Last year it was announced that Madeline and her family were going to be returning to Sweden, and that was going to be their base. However, they were supposed to come back in the sort of autumn time, if I remember correctly. And then it was announced that they were not going to meet that deadline for sort of vague, mysterious reasons. And so we don't really know what's happening with that.
They kind of said the spring, and I know February the 20th is not really spring, it's still winter. However, I count spring as from January the 1st, when they
Okay.
royalty the spring. So I'm hoping that they will be back in Sweden before Leonor's birthday. I mean, I have no evidence of this, but that's where we're going from.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, because I think both of us agree that like we like Madeline's family very much, and it's a shame that we don't get to see them as often because they're not in Sweden. They live this sort of separate life in Florida. So I really hope that it does happen sooner rather than later. I think it'll be good for them as a family, and but selfishly, it'll be very good for us as royal watchers.
Also will enjoy
Yes, yeah.
it. So
My next event, I only have one in March.
me too.
Okay. Is it the 10th?
It is the 10th. It's very
Yeah.
exciting, this.
This is, yeah, no, it's like we're revealing to each other as we go.
So on the 10th of March will be the 60th birthday of the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Edward of the United Kingdom. And I expect a photo and a Daily Mail photo book that they release, and maybe some stories about how Edward and Sophie are the saviors of the monarchy, but
Yeah.
nothing much else.
No, so I looked back at what happened when Anne turned 60 in 2010 just to try and see, like, okay, well, what did they do? And there were some photographs that were released, and I think that the BBC did a documentary about her. But Anne is much more famous and more prominent than Edward. So she, you know, as a slightly older child and as the only daughter, she's been given a lot of positions and special positions and things. And like, she had a special thing in the coronation. And like, you know, she's more important than Edward, even though she might be below him in the line of succession. She has always occupied a more important space. And I just don't see the BBC or even ITV bothering with the time and energy it'll take to make a documentary about Edward, because I just don't think enough people would watch it.
Yeah, I'm not sensing documentaries.
No.
At the most, I'm sensing a newspaper interview or like a magazine interview, because they back when they were the Wessexes, they Sophie and Edward have done that before. But yeah, I'm not expecting anything miraculous.
Yeah.
And also I think it's also different because now he's the brother of the king, not the son of the queen, which is a different relationship. So yeah, I'm not confident there will be anything extravagant for his big 60th.
I think it will be interesting just to see, because I think this is the first big birthday. Yeah, it must have been the first big birthday. Andrew didn't have a big birthday since Charles has taken over.
His
So yeah, and even
pre-takeover.
if he had, it would have been different anyway. But so this is like a bit of a test almost for, I suppose, how closely the royal households are working. Because we know that with the Queen in charge, she was always trying to get all of the royal households to sort of cooperate more with each other. And they all constantly were fighting about it because they all wanted to be independent and have their own thing. And I'm just wondering, like, with Charles in charge, whether he has managed to sort of successfully bring everybody in line, or whether everybody's operating quite independently. Because I genuinely could see anything. I could see Edward, you know, Anne does quite a lot of long form interviews with places like Horse and Hound and Tatler and, you know, the posh people magazines. And I could see Edward doing something like that, like doing a long in-depth interview, or even for the Daily Mail or something, and maybe some new photographs, and it being like, not a documentary or not a big party, but maybe like a bit of a publicity blitz if they've got, you know, if it's up to them and if Charles hasn't got very good hold over the family. But I could also see literally just one social media post that doesn't even have any new photographs in it. It's just got old ones, and then they're moving on. So I think it'll be really interesting to see, like, does it feel coordinated? Does it feel like all the households are talking to each other, or does it feel like Edward and Sophie have just kind of gone off on their own and have done this massive publicity tour of themselves? You know, be really interesting, that side of things, more than the birthday itself.
Yeah, I think I'm really I know we had like when Princess Eugenie had baby Ernest, and we were like it was so interesting because it was this like first birth of a new era type thing. But it's the same vibe. Like I'm really interested in like in the not in the core royals, but in like the other royals, the Edinburghs and the Gloucesters and sort of how they fit into the new reign.
Yeah.
Because even though like their place in the line of succession's moved once, their relationship to the monarchs changed quite a bit. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, I think I'm most interested in what William and Kate will do, because this is, again, people don't send me hate for it. It's a complicated thing, but I do think that they've become quite selfish on their social media, of like, they often don't tag the charity that they visited. And I wonder if they're just going to be like, not even mention Edward's birthday.
I would like them to not mention it purely because, well, I'd like to annoy Sophie fans. However,
I forgot about your Sophie vendetta.
considering how much they seem to actually like each other, he could theoretically be the only other role they give a birthday mention to, other than like the king and queen. You never know.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. More than yeah, Edward's actual birthday. Don't really care about that so much. I care about, like, what does it mean?
What does it mean for the monarchy?
Yeah.
The only thing I had for April was the on the 29th, so April's day,
Yeah.
was the 80th birthday of Princess Benedict of Denmark, who is the sister of Queen Margrethe and of Queen Anne Marie.
Anne-Marie.
I was like, is it Anne Marie or Sophia? I've got confused. Queen Anne Marie
Yeah,
of
I do that
Greece.
too.
So the non-queen of the throne. And I think she is not, she's a working royal. She's one of the four working royals, plus Marie and Joachim, who were never there, of Denmark. So six, technically. But And I think she is so beloved by the royal family. I think they could do some kind of like private dinner with tiaras type vibe. So just a little possible moment there with some good. I think we'll get some nice pictures and maybe footage of them arriving to a private dinner in gowns with tiaras.
I mean, it's quite a difficult one because for a lot of these, I've tried to go back and seen what they've done for similar events in the past. But in generations gone by, the sister of a monarch would probably be married to a monarch in a different country, or at least a royal of a different country, and would be going and living over there because that's what happened. Royals all married each other for ages. And Benedict is one of the few of that generation who kind of stayed at home. So there aren't many examples of like, oh, what happened for the 80th birthday of the sister of the queen? You know, that's not a situation you can compare very easily or find a lot of precedents for. But yeah, I think Denmark go quite big for birthdays. So yeah, we could easily see some kind of private party or something like that. Whose birthday was it where they released a photograph of the whole family together for dinner? Ah-ha-ha-ha-ha. It was Margrethe's Golden Jubilee.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. So in 2022, Margrethe had her Golden Jubilee, and obviously that was sort of during the COVID era. So what they did was they had a private party, a private family dinner, but they released a photograph of them all sat together around the table. And I could see them doing something like that for Benedict and maybe inviting like Anne Marie and things as well. Something a bit smaller, but still quite like opulent, everyone in sashes and orders and black tie and you know that kind of thing, because she has been working for Denmark for a very long time. I mean, I don't know too much about Benedict, but she wears excellent clothes. I'll say that for her.
Yeah. And I just feel like now that Constantine's dead, the Greeks are more Danish. So you've got more excuse to be there.
That's true. We might have a bigger party with the whole Greek royal family there and as well, and obviously all Benedict's children and we don't know as much about what will happen for that, but hopefully we'll see something because I quite like her. She's seems nice.
Yeah, and Denmark do good pizzazzy events. So.
Denmark do good birthday. We move into May, and on the 14th of May, the Crown Princess Mary and Crown Prince Frederick of Denmark will be celebrating their 20th wedding anniversary. Is that what you've got?
First thing I've got.
Cool. And I think it's quite hard to know what to do, what they're going to do. So I tried to look back at some previous examples. I think Margrethe and Henrik didn't really do anything massive for their 20th. They did the big thing for their 25th, where they invited royals from other countries. They had two galas, they had a balcony appearance, a church service, etc., etc. But 20 doesn't really seem to be anything special. And actually, when I was thinking about it, I was like, do people ever celebrate their 20th anniversary? Is that a thing?
I think people don't. I think royals occasionally do like the odd photo. But yeah, it doesn't feel like a real genuine thing.
Well, that's the thing that interests me, is because I wouldn't have 20 doesn't seem to be special in terms of the Danish royal family. If we look at Margrethe and Henrik's example, what you would expect is a big celebration for their 25th instead. However, as we talked about a few episodes ago, Crown Prince Frederick has recently been embroiled in a scandal because some people have decided that he is cheating on his wife because he was with another woman. And so I'm wondering whether they might do something more than they would have otherwise to send this like message that everything's great in their marriage. So not necessarily like a big event, but I could see a social media blitz, like loads of posts about their you know, the last 20 years and how happy they are together. The Danish royals have quite a lot of like video content on there and personal content, like candid stuff on their social media, or maybe like an interview, because we know that Mary and Frederick love to do interviews. So I'm wondering if like the plan was they won't do huge amount because it's the 20th and nobody celebrates the 20th, but because of I'm wondering whether the rumors will change what they'd planned or how they plan to celebrate it.
And also, Mary and Frederick, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, are very ostentatious.
Yes.
So I fully believe that even if no one else in the world had ever had a huge celebration for their 20th anniversary, they probably would.
Yeah.
So I definitely imagine them doing something, and it would be a really good way to kind of like make the top results for Mary and Frederick relationship be something positive and not a cheating scandal. So I would definitely suggest doing something, and I think some sort of social media blitz or like a glitzy photo shoot might be the way to go.
Yeah, because I think, like, even though logically 20 has never been a massive celebration for the Danish royals, and so you wouldn't expect anything because of these stories, I think if they don't do something, there will be people who are like, oh, well, clearly their marriage is in trouble because they didn't celebrate their 20th. And even though people like me will come in and say, actually, nobody ever celebrates their 20th, this is completely normal, they'll be like, yeah, but is it? Yes, it is. It's a proven historical fact.
It's really normal. You sure about that?
There will just be people who refuse to believe it. I mean, there will still be people, if they do a big social media push or something, there will still be people who are like, oh, well, they're overcompensating for the fact that their marriage is falling apart. So I don't know if it'll please everybody. But, you know, I think it could be a good opportunity to just do something that's not too, yeah, that's not like a big party necessarily, or a book, like a new book that was released for their 12 and a half, because 12 and a half is a significant anniversary in Denmark. They did a big book for that. Like, I don't think they need that necessarily, but something that's low cost, low energy, like sweet videos of them at home would be a good shout.
Yes, agreed. Other. And the other May event is like 6 days later and is the 20th wedding anniversary of King Felipe of Spain and Queen Letizia of Spain also, because they're married.
That's how it works. Yep. yeah, I always forget that they married so close together. I wonder how that happened and nobody was like, oh, maybe we should push the wedding back a little bit.
That must have been so exciting. Like, if I'd been royal watching in 2004 and not been like seven, I would have been buzzing to have two big future monarch weddings within like a week of each other.
Yeah, it'd be so cool. They have a lot of these things of like, well, Leonor and Christian were born really close together as well. They've basically like been in step with each other quite a bit.
Oh yeah, they're both like a couple of weeks. Oh, highly suspicious.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I know, I agree with you. It would have been amazing to be there in 2004, sort of rubbish 2024 when nothing's happening.
Yeah, we're just like, maybe they'll do something on this one day.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Useless. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a similar thing where, you know, when I was going through this, I was like, oh, 20 years, that's really significant. I'll write that down. And then as I was going back through what royals have actually done, I was like, no, nobody else thinks that 20 is a significant year, Jessica. They all think it's 25. So I don't expect much. For them,
yeah,
either.
I was writing down like any birthday or anniversary that ended in a zero or a five, and I was like, "Is a 45th birthday important to anybody?"
Yeah, I think with birthdays and things, I tried to go for round numbers because I was like, "Yeah, that's I don't think anybody cares about you know the 45th birthday of somebody." I mean, Queen Sofia and Juan Carlos for their 25th, they had a party and they invited people who got married on the same day as them.
That's cute. I love that.
That's cute, isn't it? But, you know, times have changed quite significantly since Sofia and Juan Carlos had their 25th and since their 20th. The Spanish royals are very frugal. They're much more low-key. So even if Sofia and Juan Carlos had done something for their 20th, I don't think we can necessarily say that Felipe and Letizia would. I honestly don't even know if they'll do anything for their 25th.
No. I think the only thing that's given me sort of a pause is that they just recreated that photo on their like 20 year apart thing. And that's feels very out of character for their public image. I imagine they're very soppy in private, but like publicly, that's not their image to be like, remember when we met? Should we recreate that? That's so cute. So I'm like, maybe they're just feeling very romantic recently and they're going to give us loads. Who knows?
Maybe. That would be nice. Because, I mean, I understand that, you know, they have to be sensitive to the Spanish people and all that sort of stuff, but I am not Spanish, and I just like the cute moments, so
I just want more pictures, please.
Yeah, I mean that's all. You don't have to go all out and have like a massive party and have everybody wearing diamonds. I would just quite like to see some more candid photographs because I think of all of the royals, we probably had the least from Letizia and Felipe of like candid private moments. Partially because they're very rarely photographed by paparazzi, but also because they don't do like a glossy book whenever they, you know, to celebrate engagements and big birthdays and things. So there's not a huge number of, you know, nobody even knew they were dating and then they were engaged. So it would be really nice to see some photographs from like more private moments. You know, when Leonor turned 18, one of the things we talked about was the fact that the photographs were nice, but they were all from almost all from official events anyway. So they were just a slightly different angle to a photograph we'd already seen. And I would like some things that are like genuinely them at home together, just hanging out. That would be nice if they could do that, but I'm not holding my breath.
No breath is being held here.
No. The first thing I've got on my list for June is the 3rd of June. It is Felix of Luxembourg's 40th birthday.
We could celebrate that for him. He'll be a third time dad.
He'll be a third time dad, yes. His baby will have been born at some point. I don't expect anything other than Maria Theresa probably sharing some photographs of him as a child because she likes to share private. You know, unlike the Spanish royals, she loves to share a private photo. So I think, and she seems to run her own Instagram account. So I could see some photographs, but that's all I'm expecting. I'm not expecting anything else because he's they don't even live in Luxembourg anymore, you know.
I don't expect the world. However, he's very attractive, so any photos they do decide to release will be greatly appreciated.
Yes, he is very attractive. He's a very handsome man. And Claire is very beautiful, and their children seem very sweet. So, you know, it's just lots of nice things to look at. Not that ugly people shouldn't celebrate their birthdays, but
Ugly people can still have birthdays.
I'm very average looking. So if I wasn't allowed to celebrate my birthday because I was average looking, I'd be very disappointed. So no offense, but you know, it is nice to look at pretty handsome people's faces. So, yes. Is the 6th also a birthday?
It is a birthday.
You
It
go, yeah.
is the 19th birthday of the ex-King of Belgium, Albert II, on the 6th of June. And I think, I get me, I have no idea what they're going to do because he is the ex-king. However, he's a very controversial ex-king and is regularly involved in a personal family drama, let alone national government drama. So I feel like other ex-monarchs get fairly nice birthday celebrations because, you know, they were once in charge of a country. I have no idea what they're going to do for Albert's 90th. And also he's 90, that's really old. Like, after 90, I feel like they celebrate all the birthdays just in case.
We're really not being very nice to people here, are we? Yeah, no, I think, yeah, I think you're right. Like, he is the ex-king. He is a significant part of Belgium. We should really do a deep dive into Belgium in one of our episodes because we did a Luxembourg one, and I think it was surprisingly interesting. They are surprisingly dramatic. Everyone thinks the Brits are dramatic. Oh, you've got nothing on Luxembourg, but L Belgium is also an incredibly dramatic royal family. So
We should definitely do
they're
Belgium.
worth a deep dive at some point. But yes, Al Albert abdicated, and it was not in the best of terms. So it's kind of like Juan Carlos in Spain. Like it's not the same as Beatrix in the Netherlands, who abdicated because there's a pattern of abdication in the Netherlands, and she'd reached a certain age, and she's still very, very well liked. Albert is a bit more controversial. Also, he's quite unwell.
Yes.
Like he is 90 years old. You know, the Queen, when she was 90, or Philip, they looked old, but they were still out and about regularly doing stuff. You know, seemed remarkably active for people of their age. Whereas Albert is very much a 90-year-old. Belgium's also quite, they're quite a good, they're a good royal family. They're surprisingly good at the PR stuff, but they're also not very like splashy.
Yeah, they get a lot of like pictures and suits rather than tiaras. Not that I think you would wear a tiara, although that would very much improve any photos.
The next event that I've got, we're skipping now to the 19th of June. And I have got, which one will I pick first? Because there's two happening on the 19th of June.
Boring one.
Okay, well, I'll guess what the boring one is. Sophie and Edward's 25th wedding anniversary.
That's the boring one.
Yeah, so it will be 25 years since Sophie and Edward got married. And again, I'm not expecting very much. You can see that this is a theme through most of the things that I've said. I'm not expecting anything. I looked back at what Anne did for her 25th wedding anniversary, and she didn't do anything at all. Celebrated it privately. Yeah, so I am not expecting anything massive. Although I wonder if, because it's the same year as a significant birthday for Edward, whether they'll do maybe a joint celebration privately, or whether they will do like a, they will make this a year of a publicity push, but it won't be necessarily bound to the birthday or the anniversary. It'll just be like, this is a big year for us for lots of different reasons. That makes sense.
Yeah, they released like one photo for their 20th of them like at Ascot or something. So they're not above releasing random photos for their birthdays or anniversaries. I could definitely see them doing something or like a Duke of Edinburgh special challenge or something. Like do an extra 60 events to get a platinum badge. I don't know. I could fully imagine them inventing something like that to tie it into their work. But also be like, it's a special year. But yeah, I also fully see another magazine spread in the offing. And but I don't mean like a Hello magazine spread. I mean like a newspaper giving them an interview. And there's a picture of them sat in front of a window wearing corduroy.
They're always in front of the window, the two of them, always.
Sit in front of windows all the time, like, take my photo. I look good here. But yeah, and again, I think it's a really interesting one because Edward and Sophie married significantly later than the first weddings of Charles and Anne and Andrew, all of which had split up from their first partners by the time they met and got married. But obviously, they were the next significant last significant marriage for 12 years. So I wonder where they're going with that.
Yeah, because it will be a long time before we have any other kind of wedding anniversary thing. Oh no, it won't actually. It'll, next year's
Charles and Camilla.
Charles
Yeah.
and Camilla.
Did forget Charles and Camilla. You're also very important, but I felt like at the time you were low key, so I didn't count.
I could see them doing anything really. As I said earlier, it's dependent really on how much of a hold Charles has on the monarchy, how much he wants to push Edward and Sophie, and how much control he has over whether they push themselves. And the fact that there's two things in one year, I do think they could, as you say, do like a charity thing and make something happen with the Duke of Edinburgh Award, or do a big party that's kind of celebrating both events, or do a big publicity push and try and make it the year of Edward and Sophie. So it'll be interesting to see whether, or they could do nothing at all. I could also see that. So it'll be really interesting to see.
It's going to be very exciting to go through the show and be like, we were right, nothing happened.
I know, I'm dreading next year's award ceremony already. I think half of my answer is going to be this happened within the week after we did the last award ceremony, and then nothing else happened for a year.
Yeah, I've got like eight things I could say, and then I've not said anything since. So.
But the other thing that's happening on the 19th of June is the 10th anniversary of King Felipe and Queen Letizia, well, King Felipe taking the throne of Spain, and Queen Letizia becoming queen.
That's the one I'm more interested in. I feel like, particularly because they're coming off the back of Leonor becoming 18 and doing all the boring stuff that there's still on their 18th birthdays.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest, and maybe again I'm being a downer, but I don't really expect anything. I think 10th anniversaries actually are kind of similar to 20th wedding anniversaries in that it doesn't seem like royals really celebrate them that much. Like, we had a couple of 10th anniversaries this year and nothing really happened. They had other things that they were doing anyway, and they just sort of mentioned, oh, it's been 10 years in those things. So 10th anniversaries don't really seem to make much of a mark for most royal families. Even in the ones that are more celebratory and tend to do, they'll throw a party for anything. But also it's Spain, they're doing very well right now, but they weren't doing very well not that long ago. And I don't know if they'll want to jinx it by throwing a massive party. But it's similar to Edward, like the fact that they've got their wedding anniversary and the 10th anniversary of them taking the throne in one year. Maybe they'll do one party for all those things, or maybe they'll do nothing. Who knows?
Yeah, like I'm envisioning like a church service.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Oh,
Yeah,
fun.
possible church. So it's come something where we're like, oh, I'm so excited for this possible church service that might be happening.
Compared to the rest of the year, we've not got much else that's going on.
June is looking like a real highlight so far.
I mean, there's like four things that are happening in June, and I don't expect to see anything for any of them, really. Did you have something else in June?
I did. On the 28th of June, Crown Prince Hussein's 30th birthday.
Oh, I forgot to look at them.
I think he is fairly social media reactive. Rania is very social media reactive. He's married now. He has a wife. He's the heir.
Yeah.
Possibly could have some kind of photo, nice photos, and maybe like a little party with his friends and family. I don't know. I don't know what we're doing on their birthdays, but I feel like of all the birthdays we've looked at so far, his is probably the most likely to have something special happen for it.
I will be honest, I forgot to look at Jordan. So I had forgotten that they existed and that anything exciting could happen. But you're totally right. I think of all of the big birthdays that are happening this year, his 30th is probably the one that we're most likely to see something, because he's very popular. The Jordanian royals do like a good celebration. They like to send a good sort of public, you know, positive PR message. I mean, I don't know. Maybe even they will think, if things haven't changed in the Middle East come June, maybe even they will think, maybe it's not the right time.
Yeah, maybe this is not appropriate.
Yeah, but I could definitely see some like social media stuff. It's also, you know, Hussein and Rani, Rajwa will have been married for a bit. Like, will we get a baby next year? They could be the ones who have a baby.
Yeah, I have got both. I have the two possible Jordanian babies, not down anywhere, but I think we could get two possible Jordanian babies.
Yeah, because his sister Aman married as well.
Yeah. And I'm not like saying we have to have children. However, I'm saying it's fairly likely they could have children at that time.
Yes, it's not like a pressure thing of like, they have to have children right away. Or like, I'm not saying I think Raj was pregnant because she ate a big lunch. You know, I'm not saying anything like that. It's just like, if on the balance of probability, if I had to pick somebody who was going to have a baby next year, it would probably be them.
Yeah, that's where we're going.
Yeah, no, I'd completely forgotten about that. But actually, it'll be interesting to see if they do anything. Because I feel like the Jordanian royals also, it doesn't feel like they have as much precedence to draw from. Abdullah didn't know he was crown prince until right at the last second.
Yeah, so they can't be like, what did you do for your birthday?
Yeah.
Abdullah, he'll be like, well, just had cake, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't crown prince, so it didn't really matter.
Average Abdullah, nothing special.
Yeah. So the next thing I have in my notes, yes, it's not technically a royal event, but I'm putting it in because I felt it was significant. And that is, from the 26th of July until the 11th of August, it will be the Summer Olympics in Paris. The Olympics is often a good opportunity for lots of royals to kind of come together. And I think particularly because it's in Paris this year. So I think we could see quite a lot of representation from the European royal families. It will be the people we always expect, like Anne, Frederick, probably Carl Gustav Albert. And Sylvia and Albert. Yeah, it'll be the people we all expect to go. But it's rare to have loads of royal families in one place and somebody hasn't died. So
it's a positive event.
Yeah. So that would be quite nice. And there's a certain way that they behave at the Olympics, because it's not just them standing in front of a camera. Like, there are cameras there, but they're in a crowd of people, so they often forget that the cameras are there. Or you know, they're watching a sporting event, so they're more involved in it. You know, I think back to 2012 and how we got so many like hugs and things from William and Kate, that at the time we hadn't had any PDA of any description from them, and we were all like, oh my goodness, they're so relaxed. And I think you get that kind of thing from the royals. And I'm particularly thinking it's the 20th anniversary of Crown Princess Mary and Crown Prince Frederick's wedding, and they met at the Olympics. So I'm hoping that there's some like cute, that they get to go, and there's some like cute moments. Maybe they're interviewed by the press. They're like, oh yeah, we met at the Olympics and it's memories, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And I think because it's in Paris, which is very much easy to get to for the European monarchies, I think you're more likely to get outlier royals. Like, I think, I don't know, like, I'm thinking Sophie is very into like English hockey. So if the, you know, Great Britain do really well in hockey, which they tend to do, it's not a hardship for her to pop over for the match. Whereas, when it was in Brazil, you couldn't just casually go to Brazil for a match.
Yeah, very true.
And we know royals love their sports, so.
We do. They'll travel. Well, I don't want to get into the William argument again, but they'll travel anywhere for sports, but no. Does Andy Murray still play tennis?
He does, but I don't know if we'll do the Olympics.
Okay. Well, yeah. So I was just wondering, like, if will we see Kate at, but we probably won't. When's Wimbledon?
If like July, June, July. Maybe if like Emma Raducanu goes to the Olympics, someone like that we could see. Like if we see have a big British like, and also there's rugby and football, which are patronages. So I think there's a chance we could see them if they do well in their respective groups.
So I, it's not a royal event as such, but obviously it only happens every 4 years, and I think it will be something that will bring a lot of royals together. And you often get like really random combinations of people, like Princess Anne talking to Prince Albert of Monaco. It's like, how do you two know each other?
They're just like, oh, hi, remember us? We meet every 5 years and occasionally chat.
Yeah, so I think that will be fun.
And also this year, again, it will be after the end of school and it will be at normal human time and not in the middle of the night. So I'm very
Yeah,
excited.
you'll actually get to watch it. That'll be nice. Yeah, every 4 years I become a pseudo expert in gymnastics.
I got really into climbing at the last Olympics. I was like, wow,
Ooh.
I love this speed climbing. I was like, do you know this is sport? Maybe I could do that. I have not even considered doing it since the Olympics ended. But while it was going on, I was like, climbing in Southwest Bristol, how can I go climbing?
I'm scared of heights, so I don't know if I'd be very good at climbing. The flat that I live in now, when I moved in, the curtains that they have are just like these, like, that sort of see-through material, that's in like a lot of fancy dresses and stuff. I can't think of what the word is for it, but it's like that. So it's basically my curtains are see-through, and I needed to put more curtains up. So I got a step ladder from my neighbor, and I had to stop because the step ladder was too high.
Yeah, maybe not climbing for you.
Yeah, so no, I don't think climbing's for me, but I like the weird sports. Other than the royals, it's just every 4 years I become weirdly interested in gymnastics and then never talk about it ever again.
I didn't keep up my obsessions for the in
No,
between years. I just
no.
rock up again a few years later, like, oh yeah, I'm an expert at this. Such
Yeah.
a fan.
I think the gymnastics, this might be a term that's used for other things as well, but I know that the gymnastics community call us 4 year fans because we only watch it every 4 years.
Fair enough. I will take that as a title.
Yeah, it's
I
fair. I'm
am a
sorry.
four-year fan.
Yeah. The other things I've got in August, the first is probably slightly dull, although I think it's amazing. The 26th of August will be the Duke of Gloucester's 80th birthday.
I do have that, yes.
Yes. So the Duke of Gloucester is the first cousin of the late Queen. He's still a working royal, but doesn't get as much attention because he's very far down the line and he's older. So, people are ageist and don't pay attention to the older royals. I think, again, this is not going to be something that's going to be massive because, partly because I think the Duke of Gloucester himself seems like somebody who has absolutely no interest in going to a party, like, just
Yeah,
full
probably like
stop.
hates everything about parties.
Yeah. He doesn't seem like somebody who is massively interested in spectacle or being the center of attention or anything like that. He just wants to sit and look at his architectural drawings at home. And that would be a good evening for him. But I also think, with the phasing out of the older royals, again, this is maybe the interesting part of it is like, will they do a message for him on social media?
I just want him to have more for his birthday than Edward. Even though I have no issues with Edward, I just think it would be very funny if that happened. So that's my hope for the year. Because I'm going to be like Team Duke of Gloucester all year long, but like, it's his 80th. Let's celebrate that, guys.
I mean, you say that. I do have, there is a special place in my heart for the Duke of Gloucester. I love him. I like that he kind of reminds me of Carl Gustaf.
Yeah, I bet they would get on if you
They
put them
get on so
together.
well. And his wife is Danish, so
Yeah.
Scandinavian connection. I think he's just very like he's not a royal who loves the tiaras and the spectacle and the attention and the parties, and I don't think that he's very show-offy. I think he's a little bit awkward and uncomfortable talking to people, but also does his job very well. And so I would much rather have it, yeah, a big 80th birthday celebration for the Duke of Gloucester as a kind of thank you for everything he's done for his entire life, versus Edward, who, I mean, he'll be working for a while yet, so he can
Yeah,
wait.
he's got time left to have a big
Yeah,
party.
exactly. So yes, if we could have, I would have a documentary about the Duke of Gloucester.
We're going to start a Duke of Gloucester campaign to
Yeah.
get Duke of Gloucester promotion for his 80th birthday.
It is interesting. There was a plane crash in the Gloucester family. He was never supposed to be the Duke. You know, it is interesting.
I also think he's more likely to get one, probably on like Channel 5 or something, but like the true Duke of Gloucester, and then like him walking around Harrods or something, like opening a sweet parlor. I don't know what they have in Harrods, but I
That
can see
sounds like
that.
yeah. So yes, justice for the Duke of Gloucester. My other big one in August is on the 31st. On the 31st of August, it will be the wedding of Princess Martha Louise of Norway and Durek Verrett, Derek. And I'm going to be honest with you, of all of the events in 2024, this is the one I'm probably most excited for.
This could be really boring or an absolute car crash, and I just can't decide which one it's going to be.
So if anybody's interested, we discussed the relationship between Martha Louise and who is the daughter of the King of Norway and Durek, in a couple of episodes. So episode 45 and episode 26 are probably the best ones to go and listen to. But briefly, Durek is a very, very controversial American self-proclaimed shaman who has said a lot of weird, dangerous, nutty things. He's very interested in like the new age wellness stuff, but he's also, you know, like tried to sell a medallion to people to cure COVID and to encourage them not to go to the hospital and that sort of thing. Martha Louise is less dangerous, but she does speak to angels. So she's a bit of an odd woman. So yeah, they're an interesting couple. Their relationship is fairly controversial, and they're both kind of into a lot of weird new age practices, but also her father will be in attendance, I would imagine, because he's her dad, and he is the King of Norway. So how do you balance her hippy dippy Gwyneth Paltrow nonsense with the King of Norway?
It's like the King of Norway is almost certainly going to be in attendance, and she's probably going to want to be barefoot and, I don't know, praying on a crystal. And it's fascinating. I'm so invested. And also, I want to note, because obviously her last wedding was not like a huge massive affair, but it was a.
Was quite traditional, yeah. I had foreign guests.
Are they A, going to invite foreign guests, because she does have like close relations with other foreign, like particularly the Scandinavian royals, or are they going to be like, is Gwyneth Paltrow is going to be there, and are we going to have Gwyneth Paltrow and Harold having gossip, because I would support that.
I would absolutely love a photograph of King Harold talking to Gwyneth Paltrow about her scented candles. Yeah, because yeah, Martha Louise knows a lot of people. Like, and I know that the Norwegian royals are quite close to like some of the deposed monarchies in Eastern Europe, to Beatrice Borromeo and the Casaraghis in Monaco. So it could be like a very glitzy affair with lots of famous people there. And yeah, of course, there's also Durek's friends and Gwyneth Paltrow and all of that sort of crowd, alongside these very sort of traditional Norwegian people. It's going to be a very interesting clash of cultures. We do know that their wedding is taking place in a hotel, which I think is, she might be the first princess of a reigning monarchy to marry in a hotel.
It's a bit different. She clearly went, how can I be different but still somewhat fancy? It's like, beach is not fancy enough. Hotel, that's fancy.
Hotel. So that suggests that it's not going to be the same as, you know, her last wedding or a traditional royal wedding, which would always happen in a church or have some kind of church service component to it. But we don't know much else beyond that. Like, I don't even know if it's going to be public. You know, it could be that it's live streamed for everyone, or it could be that it's totally private and they just release some, I think they'll sell some photographs to someone. I don't know who, but I do think they'll sell because they sold their engagement photographs to people. But yeah, it'll just be interesting because we don't know very much about it. And I think that's the thing that makes it so exciting is like they're two very interesting people whether you like them or not, they're very interesting. With this real clash of cultures, which is played out in negative and positive ways, and you know, sort of all up really harmful ways and really sort of silly ways. You know, so it's going to be so fascinating because they literally could do anything. I could see them having the most boring, low-key, traditional wedding that just happens to be in a hotel. I could also see them having Gwyneth Paltrow officiating the wedding dressed as a unicorn. I really don't know.
I would love it if Gwyneth Paltrow officiated the wedding. I could see that happening.
Yeah,
Oh, that'd be
absolutely.
amazing.
Yeah, will there be nudists? Will there be people waving crystals around? Will they all have to do a sort of shamanic chant? Or will it just be a very normal wedding, but they're just two odd people? You know, I honestly don't know. And I think that's what makes it so interesting. I hope it's bonkers.
Yeah, I wonder what language it'll be in because it's in Norway. And it's for the Norwegian royal family, but I don't think Durek speaks Norwegian if I'm going to go out on a limb. So, is it going to be like with Madeline and Chris, where it was like predominantly Swedish, and then every now and then they'd swap to English if he knew what the hell was going on in his own wedding?
As we said, there aren't many weddings that are happening. And even if there were loads of weddings that were going on, none of them involve a shaman. So who knows what we're going to get? That's one of the events that I'm most excited about, especially as well because they were engaged for a while and we didn't, they'd never, they didn't set a date. I'd started to wonder, like, are they just going to be engaged forever? Like, never actually get married? But no, it's apparently going to happen. So it'll be very interesting to see.
In September, on the 15th, it is
Oh.
Prince Harry's 40th birthday, and I am mainly invested in this because I want to read the bad takes in newspaper articles about how Charles is definitely going to ring his son on his birthday, and he's going to do a FaceTime with Archie and Lily, who are going to do a dance for him, and William's going to be mean and not do a FaceTime call, but Kate is going to get behind his back and send him some pictures from the kids. I can't, I just want to live through it. I feel like it gives me so much joy these days. And there'll be an article about how Harry is definitely going to come back to the UK to celebrate with his friends, and another one about how he's never coming back to the UK and he's celebrating with his American friends like George Clooney.
Yes, of course. Who's his best friend? They hang out all the time, him and George. Yeah, when I was doing my notes, I looked at Harry and I saw that it was his 40th birthday, and I thought, no, I'm not going to write this down because he's not a working royal anymore, so I'm not going to put it in my notes. But now that you've opened this can of worms, yeah, no, I think I don't really know what they'll do. They'll probably release some photographs because they seem to be sort of just recreating royal life outside of actually being royals, so I do expect some sort of like glossy photo shoot or something, which is fine. Anybody can do that for their 40th birthday if they want to. But yeah, I'm already tired of the conversation because like they keep doing this about Christmas, about like will Harry and Meg. I don't care where they're going for Christmas. I could not care less. Like, it's their business. It's none of my business. And like, why would they go to Christmas? With you know, why would they? Their life is in a different place now, and it's just people being angry about like, oh, how disrespectful is it of Harry and Meghan to not accept the King's olive branch to go to Christmas in the British royal family? Sounds horrendous. There's so many outfit changes. There's a schedule. You have to play games, even if you don't want to. You have to go on lots of walks. You have to go to church in front of everyone. It sounds horrendous. I would want to get away from it too, and I so. I think the same thing will happen with the birthday of everybody being like, can you believe that Harry didn't fly back to the UK for his birthday? It's like, well, yeah, because he doesn't live there and it's his birthday.
He doesn't like any of these people.
Yeah.
He has a new life now.
Why would he
I
come
just,
back?
yeah. I'm just so fed up of all the drama. So I've just got to the point now where I'm enjoying it,
Yeah.
particularly the
Yeah.
bad takes in newspapers. And I feel like, you know, Charles had a year of just nothing particularly. Like, there won't have been a coronation to fight over. None of the others have got big birthdays to fight about. This is their one big event to get something out there in the tabloids to get out some kind of like made up drama. So there'll be some kind of like William didn't call Harry, but the Yorks did, and then they were like the Yorks didn't. It was just Princess Eugenie, and she actually travelled there to see them. And someone else would go, Edward and Sophie did, but they didn't tell anyone because they wanted to be secretly friends. And Anne did, but Anne's so cool about it, no one cared. It gave me such joy.
We'll definitely somehow get like a at 10:04 they received a call from this person that lasted this length of time and this is what was discussed, but it definitely wasn't leaked by anybody involved.
Yeah, we don't know, we're not saying how we know this. So in October, on the 21st, is the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in Samoa. And we've had lots of rumours about a Charles and Camilla Australia tour. Therefore, I have extrapolated from no evidence that there is going to be a Charles and Camilla Pacific Ocean tour in the autumn of 2024. Because I imagine that this is Charles's second Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting since, well, actually, it's first since his coronation, his second since he's been king. Because the first one was in London on the coronation weekend. And I'm imagining we are going to get a Commonwealth tour from Charles and Camilla. And I imagine it will be to either Canada or Australia because they're friendly. And I think it will be Australia because I don't think William's going to go to Australia for a while. And it makes sense because then they could do Australia and New Zealand and then also do places like Tonga and Samoa and do like a little tour like Harry and Meghan did when they went down there. So I'm fairly sure that is what's going to happen. And if not Charles and Camilla, I think it would be William and Kate who went because he's still in the Commonwealth thing. But yeah, I think it's Charles and Camilla. And I'm just throwing that out there with no evidence as something I'm fairly sure will happen.
That would make sense because I think that it's so far away that you want to make the most out of it when you are over there. And I don't know if, it, you know, given that Charles is the environmental person, it's never a good idea to fly somewhere far away for a short period of time. Even though they're doing it for COP, you know, there have been articles about the fact that everybody went to COP in a private jet, which is kind of counterintuitive. So I think it would be a good idea to like roll it up in a wider tour, especially, you know, if Camilla goes as well, like we know that she's scared of flying. So if she's going for Samoa, then she'll have to go for like a week beforehand to go to a spa. And then stay a week after. So it would make more sense for it to be like a longer trip where she can recover a little bit from her flying stuff before she gets back into the swing of things. So it would make much more sense. So as we move into the last month of 2024, on the 4th of December, so a year and one day from when we're recording this, it will be the 25th wedding anniversary of Queen Mathilde and King Philippe of Belgium. So in terms of what we might see, again, I looked back. So the ex-king Albert and his wife Paola, they had a 50th anniversary party. And they did a similar thing to what Sophia and Juan Carlos did for their 25th, where they invited people who got married on the same day as them. And, you know, we've talked a bit in this podcast about how 20ths are probably not as significant wedding anniversaries as 25ths. Mathilde and Philippe, it is a 25th. So I could see them doing something similar where they have like a party and they invite people who got married on the same day as them.
Yeah, I could definitely see some kind of event where they invite lots of people to get married on the same day as them. And they could go in and have like that thing they do where they kind of like rotate around the tables. Like yeah. Not a blind date, but like blind date royal style. Where they like swap around the table so everyone gets to see a royal because there's only going to be two of them.
Yeah, that's true. Although maybe they'll invite the children as well. Elizabeth is...
Yeah, I could definitely see Elizabeth going.
Yeah, the two of them at least are adults. It could be a nice celebration. I guess, yeah, the Belgians are not... I don't think of them as being very like social media savvy, but I think they're very good at like the decisions that they make. Like, so we talked about... during, I think it was the Ukraine situation when they opened up their house to Ukrainian refugees.
Yeah, and during COVID as well, which we didn't talk about, but they were
easily
the best.
They were, during COVID, they were, without a doubt. So I think they're very good at like the gestures side of thing rather than the social media side of things. So I could see them doing like a nice big party that, you know, does something nice, like inviting in random members of the public. That's something I could see as being very Belgian.
Yes, definitely. On the 10th of December is the 10th birthday of Princess Gabriella and Prince Jacques of Monaco, one of whom is the heir to the princely throne. And it's Monaco. So of all the countries to celebrate a 10th birthday, it's going to be them. And we see the children fairly regularly in December anyway for Christmas stuff. Like they do like tree and carols. So I could definitely see photos. I could see them stood on a balcony. I could see them shaking hands with other little 10-year-olds at a tree. And I think I could see it would be a very good opportunity to continue the Charlene and Albert positive PR push that they keep bringing out whenever the kids are there because everyone's decided they hate each other. So I think they're not going to waste the opportunity to be like, look, we are just a normal family celebrating 10th birthdays of the future monarch of this country.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't written it down because I didn't know if 10th birthdays were significant. But I think you're right that Monaco is probably the place of all of the royals that would have something because they can do whatever they want. And like, yeah, Charlene has quite, or she did before she deleted her Instagram. She had quite an active Instagram presence, and she would like post photo, you know, a video montage of the children going to Disneyland. I was like, that's not an official engagement in any way whatsoever. But it's, you know, and the kids are always. Like, I think they met Mayor Bloomberg in New York and they went over there and met, you know, they met like the president of China. Like, they meet everybody who comes over and visits. So they're quite involved in things, random things that you wouldn't expect them to be involved in. So, I could, yeah, you're right. I think I could see something. I hope we get at least some photos on social media and things like that because I do quite like the twins. I think they're very sweet with each other. And I can't believe they're 10.
I know. They've not had their 9th birthday yet, but something about them being 10 already. But I think,
Yeah.
you know, I don't think they've had a birthday since Charlene deleted her Instagram. But we've always had really cute photos of them released for birthdays and first days of school and things like that. So even though we no longer have Charlene's Instagram, I'd like to hope that continues. Obviously, if we get to December the 10th this year and nothing happens, I'm going to be really disappointed. So I'm like, well, that gives me no hope for next year then.
Well, maybe they'll see 10 as more significant than 9. But yeah, no, that's gosh, I remember when they announced they were having baby, and now they're almost teenagers. Horrifying.
I was thinking about what was going to happen next year, and I couldn't figure out how to do it for ages. So I started by just thinking about like what I wanted to happen, and I think touching some wood to make sure that everything stays safe. 2023 was kind of the first post-COVID year in a way. I know like COVID had very much diminished in 2022, like there weren't lockdowns in the same way there'd been the years before. But this seems to be the first year where everyone's kind of been like, yeah, okay, we'll go back to normal. However, for it was not a normal royal year because we had the coronation in Britain, we had a 50th anniversary in Sweden, we had a fifth some kind of anniversary in Denmark. We had birthdays. And I think that it almost felt like the year was like, you know, like in the cinema, they have tentpole films that get released in the summer, your big
Yes,
blockbusters.
yes.
And then they sustain the cinema industry for the
Yes,
rest of the year. I feel like we had tentpole events this year and everything was building to one of the events for every royal family. Whereas next year, because nothing is happening, I feel like it could be a normal-ish year, but with lots happening more consistently and like more. I just want more royal tours is essentially where I'm going with this because, and I want proper tours, not working visits. And I want them to go to new places that I get to visit through royal eyes and enjoy them. Because I don't think we've had a good royal tour this year since like Elizabeth and Matilda went to Egypt, and that was in January.
Yeah, or the Caribbean visit was also really early in the year, and that was quite good, but it was also very early in the year. No, you're right. So, like the Jubilees and the coronation were like the Barbenheimer of this year, whereas we are expecting next year to be like more multiple independent releases, more
Yes, indie film, yeah.
like A24. Like, yeah, okay, like that's a good comparison. That works for my brain. I like films, so that works for me. Yeah, no, I do think like looking at what's happening next year, it doesn't feel massively exciting. Which does worry me because we've talked about this again in the podcast before, but like royal watching is like quite cyclical. And so in the early 2000s, you had a lot of people getting married, and then you had a lot of people having babies. And now we're at the stage where like a lot of people are turning 18, but that's kind of over now. And Grace and I have been talking about this of like, are we just going to have to not, is nothing happening for the next 6 years? Are we just, is it going to be really dry? And we're in that, the tail end of the royal watching. And then when other people join in 5 years' time, they're going to be like, wow, this is so exciting. Everyone's getting married and having babies. It's like, yeah, I know, but we've been sitting here for 5 years with nothing going on. But if I try to be positive about it, the lack of these big, shiny, exciting events could free up more space for like work-related stuff of like new initiatives being announced or new patronages being taken on, big tours. As you say, I miss the days of them going on like 10-day tours. Maybe not 10 days, like I think a week, you know, is a good tour length. And now it's all like, oh, we'll go for a long weekend, but half of the first day and half of the last day, we won't actually be doing anything because we'll be flying. So it's really just 3 days. And it's like, that's not very long. I want a 7-day tour with the children.
Yeah, because in my head, I don't count the little tours. Like, I was thinking, I was trying to figure out what years, like when, like the was it Cambridge, just the Wells have had tours, and the years they haven't. And I was like, they didn't do anything in 2017. I was like, yes, they did. They went to Germany and Poland, but it didn't count because they were only there for 2.5 days each. So it's not a real tour, but officially it is. But it doesn't count. Whereas, like, and I also think because we have. This is very British related, but I think because Charles is doing outgoing state visits and tours himself, and we have the monarch doing that, and he's doing like because he can travel, it almost like frees up like Will and Kate can do stuff more, if that makes sense.
I'd like to see more things like the Bundestag visit from Victoria. So like more things that feel significant to their progression. I'd like to see more of like the young royals giving speeches and taking on their first patronages. That would be quite exciting. I know a lot of them are sort of studying and doing things as well, but Victoria was studying and still had patronages since she was like 11 or 12. So, you know, I think it's possible. I'm trying to think positively about the fact that there's less babies and weddings and cool stuff like that. And try, you know, I think you're right that it could just give more space for royals to be able to do like their own first, like their first speech or their first solo visit somewhere or their first visit to a different country that they haven't gone to before, or, you know, just stuff that maybe doesn't feel as exciting, but actually is quite significant for their job as a royal.
I mean, I do feel like in the next couple of years we may be getting some more royal deaths, which is less exciting. But I feel like they've got to try and fit things in before that happens, because obviously the Queen and Philip were significantly older than the other monarchs by like 20 years, well, not quite 20, but a fair chunk of time, and everyone knew they were going to die first. But also, they were significantly healthier than most other monarchs. Like, if you compare what, you know, like Margrethe at, or Harold at their age to what the Queen and Philip were doing at their age, like, it's night and day. And I'm not saying that Harold and Margrethe are all going to die really soon. Like, they're both got like the best healthcare in the world. However, I think then we're not going to have as many monarchs living to 99. And yeah, I don't expect any of the current monarchs to live to 99. So I think because so many of the heirs are in their sort of 40s,
40 to
I think
55.
we're gonna get that kind of push of the next generation getting ready almost.
Yeah, I think that's right because, you know, obviously we had the Queen dying, but the last sort of big chunk of changes was 2013 to 2014, where we had Spain, Belgium, and the Netherlands all changed their monarch. But all three of those situations were abdications. Whereas I'm not necessarily saying that these will happen next year, but the next chunk is going to be Sweden, Denmark, Norway dying. And that's going to be a very different situation and something that most of us, other than the Queen, which is always going to be separate and different because it's a totally different thing. It's going to, you know, that's going to be quite interesting to see of like the transition in other countries because, you know, in this cyclical nature, I joined, long after the last big monarch would have died. So, you know, not a lot of us won't have experienced that other than the Queen.
I always said, like, it sounds really bad and very like British centric, but the queen was different to other monarchs. Like, I remember talking to people who live in other monarchies, and they're like, we have our queen, and there is also the queen who is known across the world because she was the queen of most of the world at some point. And she was older than the other monarchs, you know, and she'd been on the throne for so long. And they're English speaking, so they get more international press. Whereas, you know, when I don't know why I'm keep using Margareta as an example, but I do. When Margareta dies, like, it's not going to be headline news in the UK. It'll be like news story number three. It'll be the Queen of Denmark has passed away. And it'll be like, oh, that's sad. Whereas I imagine, you know, and it's not obviously when we did our coronation episode, first one we did ages ago, like, Denmark doesn't have a coronation, you know? So I think I missed all of the last batch of enthronements and signing papers because I was loitering and refusing to make a royal blog until 2015. So I missed them all for like a year. Whereas I think we're gonna get, you know, they're all very different, but also they're different because they're going to be as the result of a death, not the result of an abdication where the last monarch stood in the room being like, hi, I'm fine. Go on, son. What on you?
Exactly. It's a totally different thing. And I was around, but I wasn't as au fait with how to do stuff. So like I don't think I would have known how to find a Dutch live stream to be able to watch the Dutch inauguration. So I don't think I watched that live. I think I just saw photographs of it after it happened. Whereas now I feel like if, you know, Harold died, I'd know where to find a Norwegian live stream. That's not an exciting, that's not a nice thing that
I'm
we're
like,
talking
yeah,
about.
can't wait for it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just talking about interesting things. You know, I'm also not particularly excited about Prince Edward's birthday, but we've mentioned it as a thing that's going to happen in case people are excited or in case something interesting happens associated with it. It's just kind of it does feel really like slow at the moment. And I noticed that doing our award ceremony of just like it doesn't feel as exciting. And maybe it's also because I'm older and I'm more miserable myself, so I'm just less excited about things.
Yeah, we need like a surprise, like Christian to announce tomorrow that he's engaged and
Yes.
Mary and Frederick are furious. Like something like
Yes.
that, which really jazz things up a bit.
Yeah. Well, we never even talked about who might get divorced or, you know,
Yeah, divorces, I couldn't even consider that one.
not gonna speculate on that because that'll open a whole thing. But yeah.
I would like to see Charles give more K-pop stars honours for no reason. I think that'd be fun. I think that was dramatic. Yeah, I just feel like, in a weird way, even though the only new monarch we have is Charles, it feels like a new age because all the baby heirs are now 18 and little adults, and all the middle heirs are middle-aged and doing grown-up things, and the kings and queens are old. So it does feel like everyone is sort of, it's like in a machine where the cogs turn really slowly, they're about to click into place. It feels like they're clicking into place. I'm using lots of weird analogies here, but
No, I
that's
like
what
it.
it looks like in my head. It feels like everything's going to click into like its next step, and it hasn't quite done it yet because everyone's been doing coronations and jubilees. But now, hopefully, next year they'll be ready to go. There shouldn't be any kind of, oh no, we can't do anything for the entirety of May because Charles and Britain's got stuff to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So that is all we have got for this week, and in fact, this year, because this is going to be our last podcast of 2023, because we have Christmassy things to do, and we don't have time to be recording podcasts and editing them over the
And you don't
next
have
few
time to
weeks.
listen, to be fair.
Yeah, you have Christmassy things to do too. It's the holiday season, and Royals aren't doing anything, so we're taking a break. But we will be back in January. I can only imagine with some kind of outfit slash engagement number roundup, as we like to start our years with.
Yep, that's what we've done every other year. We're creatures of habit.
Feel free to listen to any episodes in the back catalogue over your time off. I always use this time to catch up with a podcast I never listen to during the time I'm working. And feel free to give us a 5-star rating anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's a little Christmas present for us. But until 2024, it is goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.